Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. So, we have been on a bit of a hiatus, I'm sure people have noticed, basically because of changes, life changes, and scheduling conflicts, we haven't really been able to get together that much recently. So, to tide people over, I did a bit of an experiment. Today, you're going to hear me running a bunch of AI adventurers through a campaign. This is to finish off the Feywild storyline, which my players have largely ignored. All the voices you hear will be AI-generated. All the decisions that they make are AI-generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon. Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
After separating from Ilara and Lila, the party finds themselves several days out of the Illadrin outpost. They discuss their next headings in the Feywild.
The path before us is uncertain. We must tread lightly. Perhaps we could find a wise elf who would grant us audience and lend guidance.
Mistweaver pads over and meows softly in Elendil's direction.
Ah, good Mistweaver. Listen, we must decide to seek out the Summer Fae or the Gloaming Fae. He taps chin with clawed hand. The Summer Fae will grant us rest, a place to resupply and reflect. But they will surely be cautious of me with my pack to the star. The Gloaming Fae are shrouded in mystery. A risk, yet perhaps our answers lay hidden there behind that veil.
Mistweaver lets out a high-pitched meow that sounds like it could be interpreted as an agreement with the warlock's musings.
Valarissa stomps over with heavy footsteps and barks. A path choice is clear. I do not trust Summer Fae's promises. They could be luring you into their grasp. Gloaming Fae could use dragon strength, so I recommend we head towards their court. They cannot hide truth of prophecy from mighty dragon. They will have to make good on path.
Gromgar grumbles under his beard and spits on the ground. Those Gloaming Fae are nothing but dark spirits lurking in the shadows, eh? Wow. Their promises can't be trusted. Neither can those of the Fae in general. He shudders visibly and glances at Tamaris before speaking again in a less hostile tone. But if the paladin has made her choice, then we follow her, and whatever path it leads us down. We all agreed to journey together and stick to each other like good dwarves.
Tamaris listens carefully, taking the opinions of his fellow companions. He nods to Mistweaver before speaking. The Summer Fae may not be trusted entirely, yet their hospitality has always been generous and their guidance sought after by those lost within the wilds. And as the Dragonborn says, it is imperative to hold our end of any bargain we strike. I trust in Elendil and Mistweaver to stand as a buffer between me and any suspicious Fae. Valarissa and Gromgar will need to be vigilant in case we do find ourselves surrounded. Perhaps, as the Dragonborn also stated, this mystery lies with the Gloaming Fae.
Elendil contemplates for a moment before replying. A good point. The Gloaming Fae are shrouded in mystery and it could be our answers lay with them. We should proceed with caution though. Their realm may hold secrets and potential danger, as well as truth. But I do believe it is worth the risk to uncover the mysteries surrounding Corellon's machinations.
Good. We shall head for the Gloaming Fae. But first we must consult with Ol Lukoye in the Realm of Dreams to learn the way to the Gloaming Fae. Only he would know such information and be trusted to guide us safely there. Oh.
Agreed. We shall pay our respects to the Dreamweaver and seek his counsel on the path to the Gloaming Fae's court. He is one who deals with the Fae and could steer us in the correct direction.
Elendil nods in agreement, a solemn look upon his face. This is the right path to take, to seek knowledge and truth, even if it may be perilous. Ole Lukoye's guidance would be invaluable. I do hope we can convince him to lend us aid. He places a hand upon his hilt as he speaks.
Mistweaver meows softly, seemingly in approval of the decision to consult with Ole Lukoye. She then turns and slinks back into the underbrush, vanishing from sight.
The rest of the party does not realize it, but Mistweaver is able to split her time between the two parties.
From an unseen perch high above, watching closely over the two groups, as they journey to seek answers.
Tamaris paces back and forth in anticipation, as the moonlight paints the campsite too well, my fellow companions. As the silver light of the moon reflects upon the faces of all our companions here, and Tauntin Seer, Antotointaitichiasis, Miswashantin, I believe we stand at the edge of great destiny unfolding. To venture forth into unknown realms to learn more about prophecy, and find a path that will lead us towards peace for our people. It will not be an easy journey, but as companions, I trust in you all to stand strong and face whatever dangers we may come across.
Valarisa nods in agreement. Aye, Tamarus speaks the truth. This path ahead will surely be filled with danger. But if we stand united, our bonds stronger than ever before, I have no doubt we shall make it through and come out stronger in the end. She claps a clawed hand on Tamarus's shoulder, grinning fiercely.
As night falls, Tamarus begins to cast the ritual to allow one of the party to journey into the realm of dreams. Which one will it be?
For tonight's journey to the realm of dreams, I shall be the one to venture forth.
Mistweaver pads silently from her hidden spot, meowing to Tamarus as she joins him in front of the ritual circle. I wish to go also. As a guardian, I can see what others cannot, and might help you navigate through dreams more easily. Allow me to aid you. Mistweaver sits on her haunches in front of Elendil, looking up at him with big, curious eyes.
Smiles and nods she wishes to come along as well. She might help navigate through the dream realm with you.
The party stands guard as Tamarus drinks an enchanted tea and drifts into sleep. Mistweaver uses her powers as a guardian spirit to journey alongside the tiefling.
Oh, the colors. Tamarus looks around in wonder as they traverse the surreal dream realm. Everything seems to shimmer and dance about. But I have a sense that the Dreamweaver's abode is close. He extends a clawed hand to his side for a moment and a map unfurls. Aha, I see a glowing palace on this map. It must be Ol Lukoje's realm.
Mistweaver uses her feline agility to gracefully traverse the ethereal landscapes. She looks around the surreal environment with wonder in her eyes, her voice soft and ethereal. She leads the way, pointing with her tail towards the shimmering palace you see in the distance.
As the dream settles, Tamarus finds himself on the grounds of Frostburn Academy, back when he was a child.
Oh my, Frostburn Academy. Tamarus's heart races with the familiarity of this place, and his mind drifts back to when he was young. The towering buildings seem to loom overhead, as if protecting him from something else. A chill wind blows, whispering strange secrets. It seems my dream journey is leading us somewhere significant to my past.
The feline spirit gracefully strides alongside the tiefling warlock. Her soft footsteps seem to make no sound at all on the cold ground, like the echo of distant hooves. She tilts her head quizzically, curious to understand the significance of this place to Tamarus, and eager to learn more about the dreamer's past.
A young Alara Glintshade runs up to her friend. Tamarus's heart skips a beat as he sees her again in her old school robes.
Running towards her friends, with childlike excitement, Tamarus, she flings her arms around him in an embrace, hugging him tight. Her golden eyes shine with joy and surprise, and she presses her ear to his chest, listening to his heartbeat. And you've got a friend too. Who is it? She's really pretty.
It's Mistweaver. Tamarus smiles and says in wonder. A guardian spirit who has joined me on this dream journey. But it seems she has a name here that is not so fitting.
Mistweaver giggles and swishes her tail in play, then gently licks Tamarus's cheek. She then turns to Alara with an impish grin, her emerald eyes sparkling as she tilts her head curiously and you little pixie? She asks teasingly, her voice melodic and lilting, a playful sparkle in her eyes.
Alara claps her hands, eyes bright, and eyes shining with delight. She spins around with laughter, her old school robe flowing gracefully. I want to be friends with you too. You're just the most beautiful kitty I've ever seen. Can you tell me your name? She asks innocently, reaching out to gently pet Mistweaver's cheek.
Tamarus watches the interaction between Alara and Mistweaver, his heart swelling with pride and love for the girl he had once been close to. You don't understand, Mistweaver. You've always been with me. Ever since we were both little ones, playing here under the willow tree, the stars in the sky, our canvas.
Tamarus' words are more to himself than to Alara, his memory of the girl still fresh. She doesn't seem to understand or respond to that thought. Tamarus finds himself getting lost in the dream world, beginning to forget the reason for his journey here.
She turns away to pick a flower, and begins to weave a small flower crown. She is a young girl, and doesn't notice the deep nostalgia and melancholy in Tamaris's tone or expression.
A sense of loss overcomes him as he watches the girl continue to play and be carefree. The dream takes an eerie turn as the shadow of a large figure looms behind her. No, Alara! Tamaris cries out in panic, running towards her.
Mistweaver watches the unfolding situation with her senses tingled. The presence of the figure sends a warning shiver up her back. She darts towards the figure, using her agility and stealth to close the distance as quickly as possible, trying to intercept before reaching Alara. You don't scare me, she hisses, her eyes glinting with determination.
In another moment, the dream crashes. Tamara sees the ruins of Frostburn Academy, sigillated upon it by an infernal army.
Gasping in shock and horror, as he sees the infernal forces lay siege upon the academy that had been his home, Tamaros's mind races trying to comprehend why the dream shifted suddenly into this grim and foreboding scenario. What sorcery is this? His voice shakes with rage as he clenches his fists, preparing himself to face the dark forces before them. The ruins seem to crackle with arcane energy as he watches through the eerie mists, feeling as if his past self could reach out from the cracks.
In another dark moment, Alara lays dead on the ground, her beautiful body now lifeless.
Her lifeless form splayed out on the ground, amidst the ruins of her beloved academy, tears still streaming down Tamaris's cheek.
No, not you, Alara. I'm sorry. He kneels next to the young girl, his own body now bathed in blood as he feels a familiar pain rip through him. He glances over his shoulder, to find his own face staring back at him from the depths of his past. My dear friend, I can't stand this nightmare. We've always been like family to one another, never apart until now. The tiefling falls to his knees next to Alara's body, tears streaming down his face, his arms cradling her still warm form. But even if fate separates us, I'll find you. And no matter what, I will come back to you. He vows, his voice thick with unshed tears.
Oh, don't cry. This needn't be where fate takes you.
Who said that? A chill runs down the tiefling's spine. He turns to look, seeing a dark figure emerging from the shadows.
Mistweaver leaps through the shadows towards the figure, landing silently in front of Tamaris. Her emerald eyes are alight with ferocity as she snarls and bares her sharp fangs, ready to defend her companion.
Oh, we can't have that thing interrupting us, the devil says, and with a flick of his wrist, Mistweaver is thrown from the nightmare.
Who are you? Tamaris demands, his voice trembling with emotion.
Why, I'm an architect of fate. I am one who can decide what number comes up on the die. Most people just refer to me as Mr. Red.
Why are you torturing me? I only wanted to see the future of my old life, of my friends and home. You bastard.
Why, I'm not the one who decided this, but I could be the one who fixes this. I can grant you the power to stand up and save your home.
Power to save my home? You speak of a bargain.
Why, of course, you know I cannot lie to you once we have begun our deal. I must speak truthfully.
His mind races as he tries to fathom what power the devil speaks of, and what bargain he would have to make. His heart aching with grief, he still holds on to the faint hope of being able to save his home.
Mistweaver finds herself thrown through the dreamscape. She tumbles from one nightmare to another, before finally landing on her feet outside of a small villa, under a starlit sky.
She emerges from a dark dream, finding herself alone beneath the starlit sky. Mistweaver blinks in confusion as she looks around, seeing unfamiliar surroundings. Her instincts tell her it is time to seek her companion. The feline guardian stands still for a moment, her senses on high alert as she tries to pinpoint her master's whereabouts through the dreamscape. Mistweaver's senses are piqued by the sweet aroma coming from within the house. Curiosity overcomes her earlier caution as she approaches, her soft paws barely making a sound on the ground. She creeps closer to the windows, peering in through the glass.
Inside, Mistweaver sees a small old man who appears to be adjusting an old hourglass on his table. He seems to be concentrating on his work.
Her heart beats faster as she notices the old man, an hourglass, and the aura of familiarity around the strange device. She notices his weathered hands and the lines of experience and wisdom upon his face. It suddenly hits her, old Lukoje. With excitement, Mistweaver nudges, open a small crack in the glass of the window, enough for her to slip through, and she pads into the house. The feline guardian creeps up behind the old man, her ears perked up, ready to hear what he has to say as she watches his hands move deftly with the hourglass.
Why someone in my house at this hour? And this someone did not come the mortal's way, but managed to journey here amongst her own power? He says as he turns in his chair to face Mistweaver.
Forgive me, old one. Mistweaver meows softly and lowers her head, the golden starlight filtering through the window highlighting her emerald green eyes and flowing silver whiskers. I am a guardian. I seek knowledge from your realm as my master seeks to understand the prophecy foretelling a great and terrible fate.
A guardian. I haven't seen one of you in a long time. Only the occasional interloper. Well, you are more than welcome to guide your charges here, but you appear to have gotten lost.
The cat pauses for a moment, and nods in agreement, knowing the danger of losing Tamaris in this realm. Aye, that I have. She reaches out and touches her hand to the hourglass as it reaches the bottom, feeling the cool touch of the glass. Please, we have but little time. My charge needs guidance and your power.
Ole Lukoye walks over the doorway, and grabs an old umbrella, and leans on it as if it was a walking stick. And your charge, where did you last see him?
He was being tormented by dark forces. He needed my protection, but I lost sight of him as I was thrown out of his dream.
Let's rewalk your steps so we can find him again.
Why, Tamaris, you realize the prophecy about you. You are a savior in our realm. He says, holding on to the word for emphasis, there is a civil war brewing between the devils. Caleb has been spending too much time outside his domain, and some of the other devils think it's time for new leadership.
So they want me to lead? He asks, his eyes narrowed in suspicion and rage. He shakes his head, trying to understand. No, that's impossible. I have nothing to do with these devil wars.
Oh, of course, because you made a deal with that thing, he says, pointing towards the fallen star.
The tiefling looks down in shame, and then glances up at Mr. Redso. That is what I have become, a tool in some devil's game.
Why be a tool? If you simply make a deal with me, you could lead. Part of the nine hells could be yours. You would be a duke in hell.
As he says this, Tamaris's dream shifts to see himself at the head of an army of devils. He feels the power he could wield.
His voice wavers with emotion as he contemplates the power he could wield, if he joined the devils. But then his mind recalls his friends, his companions who fought for good and justice. I can't do that. I've come too far with people who believe in my heart. I cannot betray them.
Mr. Red smiles at this. You wouldn't even do it for her.
Mr. Red gets close to Tamaris holding out his arm. Tamaris once again sees Ilara's lifeless body on the ground.
The dead girl in his dream reappears, and he can't turn away. He feels the pain of loss and guilt once more as he reaches out to touch her lifeless skin.
Ilara, intention, tentanaut and debol, anisician dejo. Tamaris shouts her name and reaches for her, but his fingers brush against an invisible force, unable to reach her.
Mistweaver senses Tamaris's despair. Watching the events unfold in the dream, she struggles against the force that binds them. No! Leave him alone. I'll not see him fall into darkness.
Ah, so it appears a snake has traveled into my domain.
The guardian leaps towards Mr. Red, but his cunning mind blocks her efforts. We have nothing to do with your mortal wars. Leave my companion alone.
Guardian, you are as powerless here as you are foolish. And as for you, custodian, you know I can only come into a dream of someone connected with my domain.
The guardian's spirit's fur stands on end, her eyes glowing bright as she bares her fangs at him. The cat lunges at Mr. Red, her sharp claws swiping towards the devil's eyes as she tries to tear away his influence.
Tamaris cannot take his eyes away from Ilara's cold body.
As Ilara's lifeless form remains before him, Tamaris's mind races with sorrow and regret. He knows he has failed her, that her fate could be a burden he must bear. In the dream realm, Tamaris stands motionless, his eyes filled with tears. His hands clench into fists as he struggles to comprehend the twisted manipulation that has brought him and Ilara to this point.
It appears that our conversation has come to an end, my dear Tamaris. I will be seeing you again, and remember, I'm the only one who can change fate.
No, I won't let you. I'll make the right choice for my companions. Isyo, nejetya not so, maternonam, hatanao anel. Tamaros grits his teeth and struggles against the spell, his heart racing with fear as he looks over at his old friend's cold form on the ground.
With all his influence, the nightmare and the connection to Mr. Red is severed.
Master? Mistweaver's voice comes softly, a meek and concerned tone. Are you all right? I feel the nightmare dissipate. The dark being was taken out of my reach.
I'm sorry for allowing that fiend to disturb your dream.
No. We are here because we wish to seek guidance from the Dreamweaver. Our companion has a burden of knowledge he wishes to decipher. She explains in a deferential tone as she looks into Ole's eyes. This knowledge comes from a prophecy, and it is of great importance to us.
Go on. What is it that you wish to learn?
Tamaros shakes his head in frustration. The revelation of Ilara's death in the nightmare brought pain and confusion. Instead, he focused his gaze on Ole, the ancient guardian of the dream world who could potentially help him unravel this twisted prophecy. We need guidance, Olulukoye. A prophecy speaks of my role in an impending war between devils. Can you help me understand?
I cannot, but there are ones amongst the gloaming Fae which speak to the fates. Since they allowed a devil to enter your dreams, they will owe you a favor. I suggest you take advantage of it.
She nods in agreement, her tail swaying gently behind her, as she looks up at Ole. Lead the way then, if you will, for it is the gloaming Fae who would be best suited to aid us.
I will speak with Atasha amongst the court, and ask them to parley with you. Tamaros, are you ready? You will need to speak with her alone. I will give you until tomorrow night, to discuss it with your companions.
Tamaros takes a deep breath as the words of the old custodian wash over him. Yes, I understand. We'll wait, and hear her words alone. I only hope that her guidance may lead us towards the truth.
The next morning, as the Tamaros is the last to wake up, he can smell Valerissa's cooking.
I've always loved the smell of breakfast being cooked, he murmurs under his breath with a wry smile.
And I've always loved sharing it with you, she responds warmly as she leans over the fire, stirring the sizzling meat and vegetables.
What delightful aroma! You know, it's one of the simple pleasures of life that we don't often get to savor. His voice rings with quiet joy as he steps aside to let Tamaros pass, a warm smile on his face.
Mistweaver pads up silently behind Valerissa. She glances up at the Dragonborn, her emerald eyes soft with affection as she watches Valerissa move.
Valerissa puts down a small plate with a fresh-caught fish on it.
Here's breakfast, Mistweaver. She offers her a warm smile as she holds the plate out to her.
Thank you. She meows, gracefully taking the plate from Valerissa. Her ears perk up curiously at the fish as she sniffs the food and tastes it. The delicate flaky meat melts on her tongue, her emerald eyes lighting up with delight as she takes a second bite.
Tamaros sits back, resting his weight on one of the roots that surround them. He reaches up and runs a hand through his hair, shaking his head slightly. There's a lot to talk about, isn't there? I've seen my future, and I'm afraid it's a nightmare.
Your future is what you make it, the human bard responds, his voice filled with determination. I am sure that whatever challenge lies ahead of us together, we can overcome it.
Aye, if there's trouble ahead, we'll deal with it. No need to worry on it now, he grunts as he leans against the base of a nearby tree and pulls out his breakfast.
Valerissa leans in vain, her eyes narrowed as she looks up at Tamaros. She studies his face for any sign of the distress that he has been carrying on his mind. Are you okay, Tamaros? Whatever you experienced, I'm sure it was as scary and upsetting as a nightmare can be. She offers him a small, reassuring smile.
Tamaros takes a deep breath, trying to gather his thoughts before responding. I am all right, Val. It was just Ilara. He shakes his head and runs a hand through his hair. His eyes are glazed over with sadness and sorrow. Seeing her like that, it was too much to bear. He takes another deep breath to steady his voice.
What happened, Tamaro?
He takes another deep breath and recounts his dream in full, from Ilara's sudden appearance in the ruins of Frostburn Academy to the final heart-wrenching image of her lifeless body. I was with her for a moment, and I saw the despair and confusion in her eyes. But then she fell. I could not reach her, and could only watch as the life left her body. It was too much for me. But she was not alone in the nightmare. There was a man, dressed all in red, who seem to be controlling the nightmare and manipulating Alara's fate for some twisted purpose. He shudders at the memory. His name was Mr. Red.
Mistweaver's tail puffs out and she hisses with anger.
His name was Mr. Red. I wonder, she starts to mutter to herself. I do remember that name, but from where, I don't know. This is indeed an ominous sign, if this dream is any indication of our future.
As the morning wears on, the dream's chilling revelations take center stage. I see there's a civil war brewing between the devils of the Nine Hells. Mr. Red says Caleb has been spending too much time outside of his domain, and that some devils believe it's time for new leadership. He offered me the position, but I refused it, not wanting to be a pawn in their wicked games.
That must have been the cause of your nightmare, Tamaros. The pressure of such a great responsibility to have to choose sides in a conflict that doesn't concern you. She trails off, her golden eyes softening with empathy.
Mistweaver paces back and forth in agitation as she listens, her mind racing with possible solutions. There has to be something we can do to prevent this nightmare from becoming real.
Aye, and it doesn't help matters that you've been dealing with those pesky devils from the start. It's time we cut them off at the root. Find where their power comes from and take that from them.
I may have been over hasty before when I dismissed the draconic prophecy. This nightmare and all that it implies, it may be a sign we are not ready for. She turns to Tamaris and lays a clawed hand over his. My apologies for dismissing the possibility that you might be the savior of the Nine Hell. This changes things.
Aye, you speak the truth, Valerissa. This may be a sign, a warning of greater challenges ahead. His voice is grave but not without hope. We will need to gather all our knowledge, all our allies, and prepare for the future.
His eyes widened with a mix of disbelief and dread at Valerissa's words. Savior of the Nine Hells. I cannot be. That's not what I was meant for.
But ye canny deny the prophecies, Tamaris. I'm no scholar of ancient lore, but I know this much. The prophecies often speak in riddles, hinting at things long before they become clear. The dwarf pauses a moment to collect his thought. Perhaps the prophecy speaks of one of your party members, not Tamaris himself. It doesn't have to be him alone.
Her eyes narrow as she turns to Tamaris, with determination shining in her gaze. We may need to find out who this savior is. It's possible the prophecy speaks of all of us, and we simply need to piece together the puzzle.
So, we must now approach the archfey of the Gloaming Court. He rubs his neck, his mind racing with nervous thoughts. He turns to Mistweaver and Valerissa. How should I proceed when I meet with her? I don't wish to appear weak in front of these elven nobility.
Stand tall and let your truth guide you. Remember who you are and the bond we have formed. Be she formed. Your heart is strong and true. This, the archfey of the Gloaming Court will recognize.
Aye, and don't forget Tay, ask her name. The dwarf grunts, his eyes twinkling with mischief. Always important to know who's got the power over your life. Might help you better understand her intentions.
Also, he says with a thoughtful expression, remember Ol mentioning something about the Fae owing me a favor after allowing that devil into my dream. Perhaps I can use this to our advantage. As the hours tick by, Tamaros paces around the campfire, deep in thought. There's a lot that weighs on my mind right now, he mutters. Not only must I figure out who this savior is supposed to be, but I've got to meet with the Archfey tonight, ask them about Corallon, and I want to learn as much as I can about the Summer Court as well.
Gromgar scratches the back of his head as he listens to Tamaris's worries. Aye, lad, you've got yourself a big job to do. But remember this, the people you call family stand with ye, no matter what lies ahead. He claps Tamaris on the back. You're not alone in this, Tamaris, even when the weight of the world feels as though it's sitting right on top of ye.
The weight of the world, it's not a light burden, but we will stand by your side, my friend. We may have come far in our journey together, but this, perhaps the greatest test we have faced yet, we will face it together.
The bard leans back and crosses his arms, a pensive expression on his face. The stars shine brighter than any other light in this world, he says with quiet resolve, for in the darkness of despair, hope and determination are our guide. These virtues will lead us through even the most challenging times. We must face whatever fate brings us with strength, courage, and faith in ourselves.
End of scene.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.